Okay, so we hit July. That means there's a spiritual assignment that comes with that. And part of that is you've got to check out your freedom consciousness. Okay, that's part of what that is about. And so how is your freedom consciousness? Feeling pretty free and unattached and flowing and... Well, I've got something for you to look at. I started looking at freedom and recognized that, first of all, we only get freedom if we are willing to do self-love. Okay? Because otherwise, we let everything hang on to us and control us. Okay, so the real work then becomes, in one sense, being willing to love yourself. And that's not a new teaching. It was there from Jesus and a lot of different ones, a lot of great teachers. And because I often look at Jesus, I wanted to touch it through another teacher today. A little different approach by old Lao Tzu. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with Lao Tzu, he is the ancient Chinese sage that brought us Taoism through the beautiful Tao Te Ching. And what I like about him is, after I think I've read him and understanding, I usually find I didn't. So, one of the ways that he described this process, this journey that we have into spiritual mastery, this part that we're here to consciously embrace, okay, as a spiritual being, we are growing spiritually. And what does that look like? So what he would do is give a description as one of the master, of that individual that had mastered that spiritual self. And he says, the master stays behind. That is why she is ahead. She is detached from all things. That is why she is one with them. Because she has let go of herself, she is perfectly fulfilled. Because she has let go of herself, she is perfectly fulfilled. Okay, now I know that's got to be about self-love, okay? I was thinking a little bit more about chocolate and really good wine. But I don't think that's where Lao Tzu's going. Okay. Because she has let go of herself, she is perfectly fulfilled. So somewhere in there, I know he's got to be touching, because that's what takes us into the experiences. That love is what takes us into the fulfillment. So I looked at that, and I began remembering an experience that was part of something we've talked about a couple times. I shared with you the story and experience of Arnita Morjani, the woman who had a near-death experience from the terminal cancer. And in that experience, one of the great gifts was that she was able to not only retain consciously this tremendous experience of her spiritual self, but she was also able then to bring understanding and touch it into parts of her life. And there was a part of her life where some of the things that really began limiting her, that eventually resulted in her cancer experience, some of those things began coming into focus. Shares the experience of being a little girl. She was from an Indian family, so she was Hindu, and living in Hong Kong. And in Hong Kong, she was going to a Catholic school. So it turns out the Catholic school was mainly Europeans. So here is this Hindu girl in the Catholic school, and of course she's the one with the dark skin and the dark hairs and dark features in a much more European environment. So there's probably a point as a kid where you felt some of that, you know, where you're the odd one, doesn't quite look like everybody else, doesn't quite fit in some way. Well, Anita was having this experience. And because she was a little different, she ended up not being accepted, not being a part, not being chosen when they played the team, you know, the sports, and also kind of that focus when there was bullying that went on, real easy for it to focus on her. She shares one moment where they were in the cafeteria, and the one of the boys that tended to do the bullying thing got up, and he had his tray of all the trash from his lunch, and he just went over and he dumped it on hers. And then he pointed at her and began laughing. And of course, his friends began joining in and laughing. And for Anita, it was that moment that kind of passed the tolerance that she'd had. And so she grabbed her thing of orange drink and stood up and poured it over his head. And then she noticed the anger that was coming out of him, and she figured that was probably a good time to leave. So she ran into the girls' room, and she's in there, and she's crying. And she was able to reflect for us some of the things that she experienced in that moment. One was, she hadn't been taught to behave like that. That wasn't okay. And so she felt very bad at having given into that, behaved that way. And so vulnerable for being so different. And wanting so much to fit in, to be accepted. Feeling really bad about herself. Now I looked at the love that was there. And I got to admit, when she picked up that orange juice and dumped it over his head, I wanted to go, yes! That self-love to stand up and say, no, I will stand up for me. And we'll ask for forgiveness from all the teachers in the room that have taught us that's not okay. And way to go, Anita. And there was a tremendous self-love in simply her awareness when we let ourselves be aware of what's really going on, even though it doesn't feel good. But then I realized there was something else that self-love gives. And she didn't know about that. She didn't know how to do it. Because what she experienced began to bind her into a state of perception of herself that would limit her through her life. In the near-death experience, part of what she shares is that this not being okay, this having to suppress who she was to try and please everybody else so that she could be accepted, was part of what eventually resulted in the cancer. Now, I need to just take a time out. Lots of folks get to play the C game. So, no projecting from her experience on yours or anybody you know. Okay, got me? This is just her experience, her perception of her cancer experience. Okay? Good. Okay. Time in. So, she is in this experience of feeling so bad about who she was. And she got to see it when she had the near-death experience and found out that that wasn't who she was at all. That she was a magnificent spiritual being. And it stunned her. To recognize it as a spiritual being, she was this magnificent presence. And that should never be hidden at all. Now, because there may be somebody in the room that's hidden a little bit of their magnificence. Okay. Let's just take a moment and just remember together, I am a magnificent spiritual being. Join me.
I am a magnificent spiritual being.
Again.
I am a magnificent spiritual being.
Okay, now in case it's not sinking in, tell your neighbor they are a magnificent spiritual being. Okay, any other neighbor? And once again for yourself,
I am a magnificent spiritual being.
Now that's the truth, and that's the truth of who Anita was. And yet, she didn't know how to get free. She didn't know how to get free of this that trapped her. And there is a way of freedom. The way to freedom is forgiveness. But she didn't know how. And she didn't know that she was trapped in a perception of herself that was not true. But it is through forgiveness that we release ourselves from our judgments of ourselves. And most of us have one or two going on. By forgiving ourselves and also by forgiving those others that have reinforced that, the billies that show up on our journey. Okay, by forgiveness. Now I want to just ask you to check for a moment. Is there anything you've been carrying along for a while? Now, we were going all the way back to her childhood, so some of those things we've carried for a while. Anything that kind of keeps that being that you are limited, keeps that magnificence from showing, just let it come up into your mind. Don't need to do anything. Just say, it's okay to be aware. No commitments. Just say, okay, let me be aware if that's there. Maybe there's something that has journeyed with you long enough. Okay? So just let me there and hang out. Because I want to give you a look at freedom. Now, she wasn't able to do that at that point. The freedom really came when, knowing who she was, she could forgive and let go of all those perceptions of herself. And of course, when she did, there was nothing in her body to support the cancer. And so she returned to a cancer-free body at the point of its literally dying of cancer. So I want to tell you about the experience of two men, Chris Lucas and Steve Backman. Now, this experience happened about 8 years ago. Backman was 39, a man who was struggling with very deep depression. Okay, he was suicidal. And in this very difficult emotional state, the way that he coped was by excess drinking. And the result of that was that he was going down a highway, having had too much to drink, and crossed the yellow line and struck a car driven by Chris Lucas. Now, what Lucas experienced was his lungs were punctured. The description is that almost every bone in his body was broken. And he spent the next 6 weeks in a coma, right on the edge of life or death. Now, he came out of that coma, but during that 6 weeks, Backman was charged with felony drunk driving. And he was aware, I'm guessing from press accounts and so forth, of what Lucas was experiencing. The fact that, you know, here was $500,000 spent in those 6 weeks just on the medical bills to give him a chance to live. And of course, whatever he would face in life would be for a long time intense pain and limitation. And huge impact on his family. Now with this, Beckman was really and legitimately tormented. realizing what he had done. So, not knowing what else to do, and against the advice of many people, he went to the hospital and he asked Lucas's family if he could go in and see him. So his wife went in and checked. Then his wife took Beckman in to see Lucas. Lucas saw him and immediately said, "Open up your arms and come here." And the two men hugged and cried together. Beckman said, "The love and forgiveness they showed me was a miracle, something I never knew existed. When I walked out of that hospital room, I weighed 500 pounds less. I saw everything in brilliant color when before, so for so long, it had been only black and white." Which man found freedom? They both did. How justifiable it would have been for Lucas to go along angry and resentful. Anyone would understand. And how justifiable it would have been for Beckman to continue to view himself as not okay and unworthy, as he had been doing. Justifiable. And yet, they entered into freedom because of forgiveness. Forgiveness to the self. Forgiveness to others. That's where our freedom comes from. That's what really sets us free. Lao Tzu. Because she has let go of herself, she is perfectly fulfilled. Because she has let go of herself, she is perfectly fulfilled. Loving ourselves enough to let go of all that stuff we figured out. And letting ourselves have freedom instead. Free of all those perceptions. Because I'll tell you, the only one that's true is that you are a magnificent spiritual being. That's true. It was true before you got here. It's true all the way through the journey. And it's true long after this part of the journey is over. Anita, in her experience, saw that thread. She was looking at this life that she experienced. She saw that thread that all ran all the way back to Billy. I couldn't help but wonder if she'd have known, someone could have helped her enter into that place of self-love and forgiveness for herself, for others. Would that thread still have been there? And would she have had to go into death itself to find it? Or might that beautiful being have found another journey? I don't know the answer to that question. But I do know this. You don't need to die to get free. Now, it's not a bad deal. I'm not knocking, letting go when the time comes. But living right now, letting yourself experience that love, loving enough to let it go. Okay, now you brought that little thing up you've been holding in the back. I've seen him back there. Okay. Now, how do you do it? How do you forgive? I'll tell you where it starts. Now, the truth is there's many different ways. And there's different things that we pick up, different ways we work with it. Gee, our Fortes class was working with it 2 weeks ago. You know, we've got radical forgiveness coming up next month. All sorts of ways that we work with the experience of forgiveness. But it starts when you want to be free. That's where it begins. So I invite you to ask yourself, do you want to be free? If you do, that's the point that it starts. Because that's the point. We love ourselves enough to let go of ourself. Because she has let go of herself, she is perfectly fulfilled. All right. So take that thing and just check it out. It's okay to say no. You've carried it a long time, you can carry it longer. It's all right. You do not have to be happy in every part of your life. Sometimes we have enjoyed being miserable and sharing it with others and go, oh, ain't it awful for you? Well, let me tell you how bad it is for me. I mean, you know, we got some good things. So, you know, I'm not saying you have to let go of it. But if you want to be free, to be free, you have to let go of it. Okay, and it starts with the desire, the choice to be free. I choose to be free and live in my fulfillment. I choose to be free and live in my fulfillment. If you want to, join me. I choose to be free and live in my fulfillment. Again, I choose to be free and live in my fulfillment. Once again,
I choose to be free and live in my fulfillment.
One of the wonderful things is once you make that choice, it really gets fun. Bless you.